ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वी हैव कवर्ड अंटिल नाउ the two disciplines prescribed in the Ishavasya Upanishad. The first mantra discusses Jnana Yoga, the discipline of commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and second mantra discusses Karma Yoga, the discipline of pursuit of karma, living a life of Karma Yoga. Then we also see the third mantra onwards until the eighth mantra, the elaboration of the contents of the first mantra, I mean the Jnana Yoga. After having covered that, now we have to move on to the elaboration of the second topic, Karma Yoga, from the ninth verse, ninth mantra. And before we start seeing the ninth mantra meaning, in between we have some commentary, wherein Shankara Bhagavatpada wanted to show us the two disciplines or two committed lifestyles, which are the main topics of the entire Veda Shastra, is also revealed in, discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is the Brahmana Upanishad associated with Ishavasya Upanishad, and for which he quoted some mantras there, and where in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad shows that this Atma without Upadis was there. Just, it's a figurative, it is Arthavada, you should take the story as such. What is the spirit behind the teaching is, Atma alone was, the ignorance also was, which means ignorance is uncreated, ignorance is beginningless. So we don't need to feel bad or wrong about having ignorance, very natural. And when ignorance is, the self is, ignorance also is there. And in ignorance is natural for loneliness, for loneliness to be there. Loneliness also will be there. And loneliness is boredom, and loneliness actually will result in desires, and desires will impel one to do perform karma. Once the karma is done, the results are inevitable. And the results are there, results have to be exhausted. And for exhausting the results, one has to be born again. This is how ignorance becomes the root cause of samsara. So samsara is also natural. Continuously going through this life of transmigration is not created. It is naturally there. So accumulation of karma phalani also is there from beginning, from beginningless time. So karma actions also have been performed. The diseases also have been there naturally, because ajnanam is there. So we understand all these are products of ignorance. What are products of ignorance? Performance of actions and having the results and going through experience of those results is all products of ignorance. So this loneliness or being lonely, which is being bored, is actually emotional need dependence. Emotional dependence. So when can we be by ourselves? When can a person be with oneself? When can one be by oneself without being dependent on anything to keep him occupied or busy? Without having anything to lean on, when can a person just be by oneself? Only that's possible only when the ignorance is resolved. How can we resolve the ignorance? By discovering the truth of ignorance. What is this ignorance? Where does it exist? But when ignorance is total, it is not possible. Isn't it? So when there is partial knowledge and partial ignorance, then it is possible. Anyway, so it said how a person himself becomes the experiencer, enjoyer of sevenfold objects of experience. How an individual, how one creates saptannam, seven objects of experience, objects of enjoyment, and the creation of seven objects of experience is called saptanna sargaha. And yesterday we saw annam literally means food. We should take it as an object of enjoyment, an object of experience. So the food shared with other people is object of experience. Not only food, anything we do good for others is also object of experience, which is martyannam. Then the oblations offered, I explained towards the end, oblations offered to devatas actually imply being worshipful. Being worshipful or worshipping the Lord in the name of devatas is also a punya karma, because there we express our gratitude, we acknowledge the contribution of devatas. So which is a punya karma. So that also means when you acknowledge the devata's contribution, express our gratitude, naturally we are expressing our thanks, though it's a punya karma. Then we saw the two fold annam were discussed like that. Then we also saw pashvannam means not only giving food to other beings and offsprings, of course doing anything good for other living beings, which implies bhuta yajna. So three yajnas are discussed by these four annams, isn't it? The first annam, martyannam, implies manushya yajna. Then two annams, deva dvaya annam. Okay, so anna dvayam, two fold oblations offered to the devatas as through Darshapurnamasa rituals stand for Deva Yajna. The last one, Pashvanam, stands for Bhuta Yajna. Okay, so three stand for five. Take it that way. So when we, it's actually what? Living a life of Karma Yoga. So when we live your life in conformity with Dharma and taking into account the other lives, other beings around you, not only thinking of your life, you are living your life in tune with the order, the natural order, which is otherwise looked upon as Ishvara, naturally accumulate punyam. So you do any action you perform, any charity you involve yourself in, everything is object of experience only. As a result of which, we have three other objects of enjoyment. That is manaha, pranaha, vak. We saw that. So we enjoy good health and healthy body, healthy mind, healthy attitudes, and even good speech. All the results of punya karma. Nothing comes easily. If somebody is refined person, very refined, very cultured and very polished, or very righteous, very kind, compassionate, and he always talks very carefully, means it's all expressions of the person's mental refinement, which is again hardened. It means what? Which is also result of one's punya karma. So Saptana Sargaha, so every individual, naturally what? We are all creators of Saptanam, of sevenfold objects of experience. It means we perform actions, we involve ourselves in punya karma, we have to do something, and we also earn punyam. So doing good or earning punyam is inevitable for any ignorant person. We are talking about the doing wrong things now. Okay? Why we earn punyam? How we... Punyam is the results of good actions, the righteous actions. Actions performed in conformity with Dharma, with universal values, are right actions. So performing right actions, involving ourselves in righteous actions is being righteous, which results in accumulation of punyam. So what choice do you have? We have to understand our helplessness. We do have to earn punyam. We earn punyam, not we do have to, we earn punyam naturally, helplessly we earn punyam. We cannot decide not to earn punyam. Why we earn punyam? Because we involve ourselves in all righteous actions, punya karma. And why do we involve ourselves in punya karma? Because we do not know how to be without doing anything. We cannot be without doing anything. We must do something. Why? Because we are emotionally needy. We cannot be by ourselves. We need to be occupied or engaged in something or the other. Okay. Now, leave it one side. See, sometimes when you are not doing what is to be done, we end up doing wrong things. That is why either we do right things, if we do not do what is right, and we also involve ourselves in wrong actions. So if we do wrong actions, actions which are against Dharma, we also earn what? Papam. As a result of papam, we have to experience papa phalam. The result of papam, we have to translate, get our papams translated into the experience of suffering, pain, etc. Undesirable situations. Because ignorance, as long as ignorance is, we cannot just be by ourselves. We need to be in the company of something or the other, and actions become inevitable. And once actions are performed, and they do produce phalam, punyam, and to exhaust the punyam again will be born. This is how we continue to be in samsara. And not only that, whatever good we have, we also have identity. Because ignorance is naturally there, this good body which we get, good mind which we have, the good speech we have, with all these good phalams, good body, mind, sense complex, we also have identity. And having identity, the samsara continues. Okay? This is what he explained first. Okay. Therefore, only for such people, only for such people, for them to be able to resolve ignorance, and they have to become first, they need to have jnanam, and to attain jnanam, they must become prepared, qualified. For that, the only way is they have to start performing karma. Already the karma which they are performing, and that karma they have to perform consciously with a proper attitude, in conformity with dharma, consciously not going against universal values, and worshipfully, prayerfully, in conformity with values, universal values, and with proper attitude they perform their actions. And also, and whatever comes in life also, they understand that they all come from, they are all ordained by natural laws. So they are all Bhagavan. Therefore, anything which comes in life also is prasada. This understanding of the everything being prasada helps them have mental equanimity, that they can accept anything with the sameness of mind. This is how a person can live a life of karma yogaha, in order to prepare his mind for jnanam. And second mantra, it was made clear, unless and until we live a life of karma yoga, we follow this discipline of karma yogaha, there is no way of preparing our mind. Okay? Because mental preparation takes very long. Mental preparation, mental refinement, mental maturity, emotional maturity required for understanding of the teaching and assimilation of the teaching really takes long. You cannot expect the seed to become a tree overnight. You have to sow the tree, sow the seed, regularly you have to be watering, and you have to be protecting the plant as it is growing until it becomes a very strong big tree. Like that, emotional maturity also takes time. And how can you become emotionally mature? Remaining ignorant, having disease, simply performing actions again and again and again, makes you a karmi, not a karma yogi. How to convert your actions into yoga? We never do karma yoga, we only do karma. But the attitude with which you perform your activities, convert your actions into karma yoga. It is the attitude. An ignorant person also does. Everybody who is on the roadside, people who are on the other side of the river also, they all act very busy. Every human being is very busy. Who is not performing actions? Who is not performing actions? Everybody is performing actions. Everybody has to perform actions. In fact, nobody can remain even for a second without performing actions. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi. Remember that? Nahi kaschit kshanamapi tishtati akarmakrute. Nobody can remain. One need not have any jnanam to be active. Even the laziest person who does not want to do anything also has to open his mouth as he eat. To drink, isn't it? Which means we don't want to be lazy. I'm just saying, for example, see, nobody can remain without doing any actions. Why? Ignorance is there, and ignorance will make you feel bored, and you will end up know, oh, let me do something. Let me do something. That is what? Expression of desire. And you end up doing something. Once you do something, it produces result and it has been exhausted. That is how you continue to be ignorant in samsara. So, doing actions itself does not make a person karma yogi. Simply doing anything does not make a person, does not convert that action into yoga. Yoga means a preparatory discipline. Anything which contributes for preparing your mind, refining your mind, contributes for mental refinement is called yoga. Isn't it? Even though the word yoga also means jnanam, but first we say it's a preparatory discipline. So karma gets converted into yoga, a preparatory discipline, when it is performed knowing that I am doing this karma for living this life, I am living this life ultimately for jnanam. See, having knowledge as the ultimate goal, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, having moksha as the ultimate goal, when I perform all my actions become yoga. Then while performing also, my actions are performed with proper attitude of offering them to Bhagavan, it is yoga. When I perform my activities in conformity with universal values, it becomes a yoga. My action becomes yoga. When I perform all my activities without being anxious about results of actions, then it is yoga. And I'm performing actions expecting the results, but with the preparedness to accept results as prasada, knowing the fact that results are ordained by Bhagavan in the realm of natural laws, then whatever I do becomes yoga. My whole life becomes yoga. Okay? So we never do karma yoga, we only do karma, but whatever we do, how we do, the intention, the motive, the attitude and commitment to dharma, these convert our actions into karma, into karma yoga. Karma yoga is an attitude. Okay? Attitude makes the karma a yoga. Preparatory discipline. Okay, this much is understood. Even though I have gone out of this top track, I explained, just to say, don't need to worry about Saptana Sarga, but Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions that, just to show how in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, Karma Yoga is, the path of karma is explained. Now, we were seeing yesterday, I said there are many lokas prescribed, discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Pitrulokaha, Devalokaha, Mamartyalokaha, etc. So, if only if you are interested in such lokas, then you must involve yourself in appropriate action. If you have to buy some food, you must go to the grocery shop. You want to buy some medicines, you must go to a chemist. So you cannot go to the chemist and ask for rice and other food. He won't have it. Like that, whatever you need in keeping with what you want to enjoy, where you want to go, what you want to have, appropriate action must be done. The person wants to be born again a human being, he wants to avoid other inferior lives, assuming other inferior bodies, then this person should live a clean, righteous life, doing his duties properly. Thereby, as they explain, how a good father, and because of he earns a punyam by raising a good son, then he can assume again a manusha shariram, a human body. It's called attainment of martyalokaha. Being again born a human being is called attainment of martyaloka. So by doing, performing lot of rituals, many rituals, and the result of which earning punyam, one can go to Pitruloka, or by performing, even practicing meditation, one can go to Brahmaloka. Like this, different lokas can be attained if we do different things. Well, there are people who are not interested in any of these lokas, and those people need not do that. If you don't want medicine, you don't need to go to chemist. Not necessary. It's all in keeping with the necessity of a person. Our Veda Karma Kanda provides things like a big shop, isn't it? Go to IKEA, choose whatever you want. Huge shop. Like that Shruti, enter into Shruti. Oh, you want to go to Matyaloka? Then do this. Live like this. Or you want to Pitruloka? Perform these rituals. Do you want Devaloka, Brahmaloka? Then practice meditation. Like this, there are prescriptions for different people in keeping with the different needs. Is it clear? So Shruti caters to the needs of all people. For babies, baby food. For grown-up people, different food. Like caters to the needs of all. Anyway, so some people who do not want, not interest in any of this. For them, it means they are dispassionate people. They have become dispassionate towards all these worlds. Not interest in Martyaloka. There is no freedom. There's bondage, there's sense of limitation. I don't want to be limited anymore. I don't want to be a limited individual going through spheres of opposites. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in even Pitruloka. What is big Pitruloka? Go there, have a holiday. Once punyam is exhausted, you have to come back again. There's no permanent happily living in Pitruloka possible. Permanent happiness is not possible even in Pitruloka. Whatever Brahma Loka, you have to meditate and meditate and meditate, and you have to be doing other things also. Even going to Brahma Loka is not an easy joke at all. It was a tremendous amount of effort to go to Brahma Loka, then you have to attain moksha. So, I am not interested in going to Brahma Loka also. Then what do you want? I want freedom. I want moksha lokaha. I want moksha. Which is, okay, I want freedom right now. Without going to any loka, I want freedom. I want happiness. Is it? For such a person, then Shruti has to cater. Suppose some child says, I don't want this food. I don't want this. I don't want this. Okay, at least eat this. Mother tells. Shruti tells, don't want any other lokas? Best, come. There you are, for you, Jnana Kandaha. Is it clear? So that's what we are seeing. Quickly, let us read now. Jayadi Yeshana Tresanyasena. So, in page number 54, Karma Yoga. See, the discipline of Karma Yoga discussed in Brihadaranyakam, briefly presented in page number 54. In page number 55, Jnana Yoga discussed in Brihadaranyakam is presented. Okay. Jayadi Yeshanatraya Sanyasena Ja Atmavidam Karmanishta Pratikulyena Atma Swarupanishtaiva Darshita. So only for such mature individuals who have discovered dispassion, knowing the limitations of all lokas, desirelessness for all lokas actually implies desirelessness for anything in the world. Why? That cannot give me jnanam, that cannot give me mokshaha. What I want is absolute peace. What I want is fullness, happiness. For nothing can give me happiness other than jnanam. Remember, in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Arjuna tells Krishna, what did he say? Nahi prapashyami mama panudhyat yachokamuchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhumavasapatnamruddham rajyam suranam apichadhipatyam suranam cha adhipatyam. Even having the status of being the lord of all devas, that will not remove my sorrow. Shokam na apanudyat. Even if I have the status of being the king of high, very prosperous, rich kingdom, Riddham Rajyam, or Asapatnam Rajyam, unrivaled kingdom, somebody comes and gives you, I'll give you this kingdom, no rivalry, lot of highly prosperous kingdom, would you like to be king of this place? Why don't you? Oh, very nice. We'll accept. And here Arjuna says, no. Even such a position will not free me from sorrow. This is what understanding of the fact that nothing in the world can give me happiness. Nothing in the world can make me happy forever. Nothing in the world can give me absolute peace, permanent peace. Why? Because happiness is nature of yourself. Happiness is your own surup. Happiness is yourself. Happiness is the nature of reality. How can you go and search for happiness, which is the nature of reality, in everything else where it is not? You cannot go and search for heat in water. If it's hot water, the heat will go. You want to... The heat must only approach fire. You should not search for right thing at the wrong, in the wrong place. Okay? Therefore, such a person, and Mundaka Upanishad says, the mature individuals are those who have learned from their life's experiences. Parikshalokan karmachitan nirvedamayat brahmanaha. The people have understood by experiencing, by analyzing their own experiences, they understand that nothing in the world can give me happiness. In fact, one has to go through life of karma yoga, live a grihasthashrama life to understand this fact only. Know that nothing in the world can give me happiness. And such mature individuals who are no more interested in any of the lokas, who want only Atma, Atma Jnanam for Moksha, for such people, this discipline of Jnana Yoga is prescribed. How? By the renunciation of threefold desires for wealth, progeny and words. So it is said here, Kim Prajaya Karishyamaha. Kim Prajaya Karishyamaha. What can we do with progeny when we are not interested in this loka? What can we do with the vash? What can we do with the ritual, the punya palam, when I am not interested in pitra loka? For such people, yesham naha, for such people, for us, I am Atma, I am Lokaha. This is a mantra quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's also, this mantra is a 22nd mantra in 4th section of 4th chapter. See, Yesham Naha, I am Atma, I am Lokaha. For us, for such people, I am Lokaha. Moksha, Lokaha in the last term means Mokshaha, Purushartaha. For us, Purushartha, our pursuit is Atma. We are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the Atma. So when you see this, kim prajaya karishyamaha yesham naha ayam atma ayam lokaha, the word lokaha there means purushartha moksha. Ityadina. So these mantras also reveal the fact that jnana yogaha is a separate discipline, independent discipline, prescribed for people who are qualified for jnanam. So he also restates, Shankara restates, that these two disciplines are there for people of two different levels and which have to be followed sequentially, ultimately to attain jnanam, which is moksha. Okay, yetu jnana nishthaha sanyasinaha tebhyaha asuryanama te ityadina avidvan nindadvarena avidvan ninda dvarena atmanaha yathatmyam sapariyagat ityetadantaihi mantraihi upadishtam. No, Shankaracharya concludes here. What does he say? Having discussed the jnana yogaha present in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, now Shankaracharya again briefly reminds us of jnana yogaha discussed in Ishavasi Upanishad. So yetu jnana nishthaha sanyasinaha, so people who are renunciates and who are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of all other pursuits. The exclusion of artha, kama, dharma pursuits. To a totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. For such people, sannyasinaha, there are six mantras. Nature of the reality was unfolded in six mantras, beginning from Asuryanama Te Lokaha. Right at the end, and those six mantras revealing the Atma Swarupam, nature of the Atma, Sapariyagat. It's the last mantra, Sapariyagat. The mantra beginning with the word Sapariyagat until then. So Asuryanama Ityadina means, by such verses, such mantras, beginning with the word Asuryanama and ending with the mantra beginning with Sahapariyagat, in all those six mantras, Atma Swarupam was, nature of reality was presented or discussed for those mature individuals, sannyasis, who want to commit themselves, who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, who are given to the discipline of jnana yoga. Is it clear? Nothing much here. Iti mantrehi upadishtam, the nature of reality obtaining as the atma, as one's own self, was taught for those sannyasis who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. This said here. Now, tehi atra adhikritaha. So sannyasis, the mature individuals, either people who have atmajnanam, self-knowledge, or people who are qualified for self-knowledge, for them, jnana yogaha is the relevant. They are atra adhikritaha, means for them jnana yoga alone is relevant. Na kaminaha. So kaminaha means people who are still ignorant, who are not yet qualified, who are still impelled by the desires, Kaminaha, they are not eligible for taking to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. No, not only Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, he also wants to show all Upanishads do not change in their teaching when these two disciplines are concerned. All Upanishads, the Tatparyam, the aim of all Upanishads, the vision of all Upanishads is the same. All Upanishads uniformly say that Karma Yoga is a discipline to be followed first by any individual in order to prepare his mind to become qualified for Jnanam. Therefore, then the qualified person then must be given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga for the attainment of Jnanam. And Jnanam itself is freedom, moksha. This is what all Upanishads teach. To prove that, to state that, he again quotes another mantra from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Okay, with this the commentary will be over. Let us see it now. Tathacha Shvetashvataranam Mantropanishadi Atyashramibhyaha Paramam Pavitram Provacha Samyagrishi Sangha Yushtam Samyag Rishi Sangha Yushtam. So there is another mantra quoted from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. What is the mantra? Atyashramibhyaha Paramam Pavitram Provacha Samyag Rishi Sangha Yushtam. What does it mean? Atyashrami means sannyasi, or one who has gone beyond all ashramas. Sarvan ashraman atigatavan. The one who has gone beyond all ashramas is atyashrami, which means actually a vidvat sannyasi. Isn't it? Or you can say even a sannyasi is atyashrami. He has gone, brahmacharya ashrama is over, vanaprastha ashrama is over, grihastha ashrama is over. Is it? All ashramas, I am saying grihastha and vanaprastha. The person who has, you know, gone through all ashramas, or who has gone beyond all the ashramas means what? One who has now, by going through all ashramas, he has understood the fact. Going through ashramas actually helps a person discover dispassion. How will he become mature? How will he become prepared? Only when a person goes through all ashramas. That's why even ashramas are a beautiful design for an individual, for individual's growth. Why one must be a student? When you are a student, you must do your student duties. When you are a householder, you must do your householder duties. When you are, then you know, there's a time you cannot get stuck there itself. You have to grow out of it. Then you must spend more live a life of worship and prayer and meditation, meditative life. And even from there, one person must grow. Go beyond means what? Then there must be a time I want only jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. I want only jnanam. I want only now freedom. Such mind, such a that this urge for jnanam and moksha will come when a person goes through all ashramas. That is why it is always said, why every ashrama is important? It's a discipline for a person to become disciplined. If you are not a brahmachari, you will not know what your duties are. If you do not do your duties, you cannot be disciplined. Oh, as a brahmachari, you must do all these duties. Vayak is said, that is how you become disciplined. Otherwise, you'll sleep whenever you want to sleep, get up whenever you want to get up, you'll eat whenever you want to eat, and you would bathe whenever you want to bathe, and you can do things which you should not be doing. You can do things which you should, you may avoid things which you should be doing. There's no discipline. So brahmacharyam is an ashramaha. Means once you are in Brahma as a brahmachari, and these are all your duties. It makes you disciplined. Similarly, as a grihastha, the duties are different and you do your duties. Every ashrama has prescribed duties. Ashrama means a stage. Okay? A stage in life. So similarly, when a person goes through all these ashramas, and naturally there comes a stage, a person, I want only jnanam. That urge for jnanam comes when a person discovers dispassion towards everything. So discovering dispassion itself is what? Maturity. It's a growth. And for a person to grow emotionally, one has to go through all ashramas. But here, atyashrami means a highly mature person has gone through all ashramas. Therefore, now who has discovered dispassion towards everything, and now he knows the value of knowledge, whose passion is only for jnanam and moksha, and that for such people, atyashramibhyaha, for them, paramam pavitram provacha, paramam pavitram. See, paramam means exalted. Pavitra means purifying. Punati iti pavitram, that which purifies. You know, what is that exalted purifying factor? Knowledge. The most purifying is jnanam. There is nothing as purifying as jnanam. What is that which will make you, which will purify? Jnanam. So it said paramam pavitram jnanam has been commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, attainment of knowledge has been meant for this atyashramis, sannyasis. And what is this? Samyak Rishi Sangha Jushtam. Rishi means Jushtam has been derived from the root Jush. Joshati is a verb. Jushtam means resorted to. So by all rishis, all the seers, knowledge is one thing which is ultimately resorted to by all. Therefore, so knowledge has been, pursuit of knowledge has been prescribed for atyashramis. This is the meaning of the mantra of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, and Shankara quotes all that. The 21st mantra in 6th chapter of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Ityadi vibhajya uktam. Vibhajya uktam. Vibhajya means dividing, separating, showing the difference. It has been clearly said in all the Upanishads, and specifically he says in Ishavasyam and Brihadaranyakam, vibhajya, separating, dividing, showing the difference between two committed lifestyles or two disciplines, karma yogaha and jnana yogaha, path of karma and path of knowledge have been, you know, vibhajya uktam, have been shown, revealed here. Okay, with this, Shankara Bhagavatpada's Avatarika Bhashyam, introduction to the elaboration of karma, karma yoga, is over. But don't think his commentary is over. Okay, introduction to karma yoga, to karma yoga topic is over. Okay, but his commentary will be there. But again, no. In the next line, ye tu karminaha,
ye tu karminaha,
karma nishthaha,
karma nishthaha,
karma kurvantah
eva,
jiji visharvaha,
jiji
visharvaha,
jiji visharvaha,
tebhyaha,
tebhyaha,
idam uchyate.
Uchyate.
Now he says, idam uchyate. Idam means what? This portion is presented here. This portion of mantras discussing elaborately the part of karma is here. For whom? Jiji Vishavaha. Jiji Vishavaha, people who want to live their lives performing actions. Karma kurvantaha eva jiji vishavaha. You know very well, jiji vishuhu means the one who wants to live. Jiji vishavaha, those who want to live. The plural of jiji vishuhu is jiji vishavaha. So those who want to live are said to be jiji vishavaha. But we are all jiji vishavaha. We all want to live. Which means what? Nobody wants to die. That's the meaning. That meaning I'm saying. So, people want to live. How do they want to live? Karmani kurvantaha eva. Performing actions. And people who want to live their life performing actions, who are they? Karmanishtaha. Who are committed to the performance of actions and rituals. And karminaha, who are very much addicted to the performance of actions. So karminaha, who are addicted to the performance of rituals and actions, who are involved in actions and who are committed to the performance of actions and who want to live their lives performing actions, for such people, okay, the teaching, the following teaching is presented. Okay, see, when a child wants to play with the toy, okay, if it is practical, it's not too expensive, it's okay, but it is not harmful to the child, the toy, it's good for the child to play, definitely, parents do not mind. They go to the shop, take the child, they make the child happy by taking the child to the shop and getting a particular toy for the child to play. When parents buy the toy for the child, what do the parents expect? I am buying this toy, paying a lot of money, you must keep the toy forever and you must be playing it all your life. Because I buy it for you. My child, you are my child. I buy this toy for you. I spend a lot of money for you. And you must be playing with this toy always. Not waste it. Will any mother say that? Mother will be very happy. The child plays for 6 months or 1 year, 2 years. The child is much happier. The child breaks it also, forgets about it. Suppose some child, imagine, plays with the toy forever. What will the mother do? My God, why did I got this toy? Why did I get this toy for this fellow? Why did I get it for him? I got it for him to help, to just to please him. So so that one day he will grow out of desire for playing with the toy and he should throw it and he should ask for something different. No mother will like expect the child to play with the toy. She buys with the, you know, lot of love she buys a toy for the child. But no mother will expect her the child to play with the toy always. Like that, Shruti Mata also prescribes all karmas. Oh, you want Brahmaloka? Practice meditation. Do you want to go to Matyaloka? Okay, do live your life like this. Or do you want to go to Pitraloka? Then do these rituals, prescribe. How long? You know, some people get stuck there. They cannot move on. But people who learn from their experiences, for them alone, life has served its purpose. Life is a successful, relatively successful life. According to Mundaka Upanishad, life, a human being, life becomes a successful life, relatively successful life. And a person discovers dispassion. Discovering dispassion means what? Person becomes mature, understand the fact that nothing can give me happiness. That is relative success. When a person attains jnanam, he is absolutely successful. So discovering dispassion, becoming mature is a sign of a person's maturity, is relative success in life. A person attains jnanam, it is absolute success. Isn't it? So here, but still there are people who are very much attached. Then they had to become disciplined. How will they become disciplined? How will they become qualified for jnana? The Shruti prescribes karma for such people. Okay? So, yetu karminaha, karminaha, karma nishtaha, karma kurvantaha eva jijivishavaha. For such people, idam uchyate. This is said here. What is said here? The following mantras are prescribed here. Okay. But now, the mantra meaning is very simple. Only one line is the mantra meaning. Mantra meaning is not much. But what we have much is Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. What is the mantra meaning? Simple. Andham tamaha pravishanti. Okay, see the mantra. Andham tamaha pravishanti ye avidyam upasate tato bhuya iva te tamaha ya u vidyayagum rataha. Okay. Don't worry, I will again make read the mantra. But before even entering into this topic, I wanted to make you read the mantra once, that's all. Here, as I said yesterday, so pravritti margaha, karma yogaha is going to be discussed in elaboration here. We are going to understand the combination of karma and upasanam. Ritual, performance of a ritual and meditation. Then combining two meditations. And also the prayer for gati, good gati. These are the topics we are going to see in these mantras. When I say karma upasana samuchayaha, let us take the first topic. Karma upasana samuchayaha. Samuchayaha means synthesis, combining. So combination of karma and upasanam means a ritual and meditation. Ritual means what? Where physical body is involved, physically performing a ritual. Kindling the fire, offering oblations, ritual. Then meditation is a ritual, it involves, ritual is a physical oral activity. Chanting mantras, offer oblations. So in ritual, body is involved, speech is involved, mind also is involved. All the three are involved. In physical activity, kayikam karma. Whereas upasanam is pure manasam karma, mind alone is involved. The body and speech are not involved in upasanam. In karma, all the three are involved. Okay, upasanam means meditation. Okay, before I go to this topic, the upasanam discussed here is different from the meditation discussed in Jnana Yoga. I want to make it very clear for you. That is why I want to stop here. Before we enter into this topic, and I will be fast hereafter, okay? See, when you say Jnana Yoga is a discipline. Pursuit, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge is Jnana Yoga. What do we mean by the discipline of pursuit of knowledge or Jnana Yoga? Means this Jnana Yoga involves three steps. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. You already know very well, Shravan. If you say, I am given to the pursuit of Jnana Yoga means, you must be involved in Shravanam or Mananam or Nididhyasanam. All three stages are involved. If the students who are listening to the Shastram are Uttama Adhikarinaha, are really good students, I mean, who are already prepared minded people, and as they listen, they'll understand everything. You know, assimilation can happen in the very class itself. Such students are very, 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 very rare. Generally, assimilation takes very long. So, for that purpose, Shastram prescribes this Manda Madhyama Adhikarinam for people who need more time for assimilation. For them, these three steps are involved, prescribed. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Going through these steps systematically, consistently, is actually being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. So you know, Shravanam is a gerund which means listening. Mananam means thinking. Nididhyasanam means meditating. So listening is the first step. Listening to what? Listening to the unfoldment of the words of the Upanishads. Regularly, systematically, step by step, continuously, regularly, systematically, for a length of time from a competent teacher who knows the method of unfoldment. Who would have been a disciple of another teacher? So who would have picked up the method of unfoldment? Okay, is called Shravanam. Just listen. And what can Shravanam do? Because Shravanam, already you go and sit in the class, how? With the desire to know. So the people who come and sit in the class must be Jignyasavaha. You have desire to know. And of course you're also a Jignyasu is definitely a Mukshuhu. The person who wants to know must be a person who knows, who wants to be free also. Only then it becomes a spiritual pursuit. Otherwise, it becomes a mere academic pursuit. I want to know, but I'm not interested in moksha. If somebody says it is not a spiritual pursuit, it is an academic pursuit, mere intellectual exercise. Suppose somebody is a mumukshu, but he is not jignyasu, means then it is meaningless. His search will be endless. A person must be jignyasu, and he is a jignyasu because his end is moksha. He is a spiritual person. So, for such a person who comes to the class and he listens to the unfoldment of the words of the Upanishads, how long? For length of time, regularly, systematically, step by step, and from a competent teacher. It's called Shravanam. And what does Shravanam do? Because already you are a Jignyasu or a Mukshu, you listen to the teaching carefully, systematically. How can listening will not give you Jnanam? Shravanam will not be a failure. Okay? Shravanam will definitely help you understand the teaching. It will give you the knowledge of the truth. You will know the truth is yourself. You will arrive at the truth as your own self. Jnana will be there. The ignorance of the truth will be resolved. You will not be ignorant of the truth anymore. You will not be ignorant of yourself anymore. You will have knowledge of yourself after Shravanam. You will know everything is Atma. But even though you have Jnanam, still the knowledge may be doubtful knowledge. How do you say whether you have doubts or not? How can you measure? How can you understand whether the knowledge is clear, doubt-free knowledge or doubtful knowledge? You come and study here, okay, from teachers who unfold the Upanishads based on Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. Many Swamis come here, teach here. You also listen to other acharyas, people of other faiths, and they all have their own different views, different contentions. I'm not saying wrong or right, I'm telling you. You listen to so many things, oh, people of that faith, they say something. People of this faith, they say something. All of them are good people, cultured people, nice people, pious people. Nobody tells me to go and do the wrong things. Because dharma, everybody emphasizes dharma. But somewhere that they have different, they differ in their views and contentions. So people have the free, they all have their own way of thinking. They think and they have their own background. They're exposed to different teachings. People have different contentions and different views. We can't undo anything. Naturally, you have your own views, others will have their own views. But if you study Upanishads, please understand, based on the Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, we do not say understanding of the teaching is not a view of Shankara. It is not a view of Upanishads. It is not a view of Shankara. It is the vision of the fact. Upanishads reveal the vision of the fact. Adishankara Bhagavatpada presents his vision of the fact. What is the difference between view and a vision? A view is a contention. Is subject to differ from person to person. Okay? He can have his own view, I can have my own view, he can have his own view, she can have her own view. Different people can have different views and contentions. contentions and our views are subject to differ from person to person. But fact cannot differ from person to person. Okay? If I say water is H2O, is it the view of people who live in Bahamas? No. It is the fact universally accepted by all people. Isn't it true? It's a fact. So fact cannot differ from person to person. So here when Adishankar Bhagavatpada unfolds here, he doesn't say it is my view. He only says the vision of the Upanishads. And the vision which has been being unfolded by the parampara, guru parampara, from beginningless time, anadi kalat. And beginningless time, there has been a parampara, the lineage of teachers. All those teachers have been revealing this fact already. This has been a fact from timeless time. This is the fact, this revealed in the Upanishads. And that fact has been taught by the parampara. So, Shankaracharya says the same fact which has been there as the timeless fact in Upanishads, in timeless scriptures. The fact is a timeless fact which has been this revealed in timeless scripture Upanishads. The Veda is a timeless scripture, and from time immemorial by the Sampradaya, all teach by lineage of teachers. Okay, before him also. Only thing he revived that. Adishankara is not a creator of Advaitam, not a founder of Advaitam. No. He only teacher of Advaita. Only he revived that fact, vision of the fact. That I, the Self, am the truth, all that is, there is only the truth, everything is Atma, everything is Jnanam, there is no second thing other than the truth. It's a fact. And therefore, all that is there is, if you look at the truth as Bhagavan, Ishvara, there is no Bhagavan other than the truth, then you can say all that is there is only the Lord. God is not one, gods are not many, all that is there is only the God. This is the fact. And it's a fact means what? Fact, either we know the fact or we do not know the fact. So we need to understand the fact. Isn't it? And understanding the fact only what? To understand this fact clearly, we are studying Upanishads. So Shravanam will give us some jnanam, but still, because we are first exposed to the teaching, when different people have different views, and suppose your understanding you have through Shravanam is shaken. Suppose any doubt comes. Oh, they sound very clear. They also very present very nicely. They are also very eloquent, very fluent. They communicate very well. And they sound very, very impressive. And they seem to be okay. They also sound okay. Means your understanding of the fact through Shravanam is shaky. Others' views may shake if you are not very clear. When can your understanding be shaken? Only if it is not very clear understanding. Okay, so your understanding must be doubtful. Free understanding, clear understanding. Because doubtful knowledge is as good as ignorance. Therefore, next step is prescribed. Shravanam is for resolving the ignorance. Shravanam itself is not enough for resolving your doubts. So, next step called mananam. Literally means thinking. Thinking means thinking of what you have already heard and understood. again and again and again thinking of what you have already understood. So reflecting upon what you have already understood. And if at all any doubts come, and resolving those doubts by reflecting upon the teaching, and thereby having the clear understanding, is the purpose of mananam. How can you do mananam if you have not done shravanam? What will you reflect on? What will you think of? So mananam is meaningless if you have not done shravanam. Doesn't make any sense. You must have already heard for a length of time, understood the teaching to some extent, then you repeatedly dwell upon, reflect on the teaching. And if at all any doubts raised by or any query which has come to you, listen to somebody else, some other people's views, then you have to resolve those doubts. For doubtful knowledge is useless. Ignorance is better. The doubtful knowledge is harmful knowledge. So better do manana. Then even after having done mananam, then okay, now nobody's, I understand people, I accept the people, I accept them and their views from their standpoint. See, it's very important thing. You know, the person who is given to the pursuit of knowledge of non-duality of reality, we be very friendly person. We have no controversy with anybody. We won't be nodding our heads for everything. But we must be very prudent, intelligent. No controversy. We can be friendly with everybody. Why? We can accommodate all their views, not as an ultimate view, but from their standpoint. Okay? Somebody says wave is different from ocean. Why should I deny? Yes, wave is different from ocean from the standpoint of form and name. Nothing beyond that. Okay, that is your stand. Leave it. From their standpoint. But we have our own standpoint. Clear? Which means accept people, understand their views, accept them from their own standpoint. That doesn't mean we accept their views as facts. We see their views as views. That's all. But are we interested in views or facts? We are interested in fact. Why? Only ascertained vision of the fact is moksha. Be careful, never ever lose sight of your end. I am interested in my freedom, my limitlessness, my happiness. My happiness is not simply accepting others' views and being friendly in the world. I should not forget my goal. My purushartha is my moksha. And moksha is only in assimilated, ascertained vision of the fact of everything being Bhagavan. Everything being the truth. Therefore, I am interested in the fact. I am not simply interested in views, accepting the views. So I leave the views of people with them. Accept them. I have no controversy with their views from their standpoints. But my aim is us understanding the fact, being clear about the fact, I've understood, and assimilating the fact. Okay? Therefore, next step is what? Even if you have clearly understood after mananam, still you may forget. Why? Forgetfulness forgotten clear understanding also is as good as ignorance. What is the use of having done Shravanam, having understood and having clarified the doubts also, but I completely forgot? What is the use? Something even after having understood clearly, it can be forgotten. What do you mean by saying forgetting the fact? It is very natural for us to forget. Why? Because how you have been living your life, for so many janmas we have been ignorant. Even in this janma we are born ignorant, and only now you are exposed to the teaching. And only how many years have you been doing study? Now recently. And somehow Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam will bless us with the knowledge of the truth. And even if you systematically understood very clearly, no doubt at all, still you may forget. Why? Because of your long orientation. How long have you been ignorant? How long have you been wise? The period you have been ignorant is very, 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 very long time. And when you get jnanam, it is very short time. So long orientation. It is very, easy for us to forget. Now, Pujya Swami used to tell this, when people go from India to America, and in India the seats are one side, the driver's seat is in a different side. So that when a person wants to drive, we have to always go to the other side of the car. Isn't it? And the people who are used to sit in the front, next to the driver, they always go to the other side in India. And because we are used to that habit, it is our habit. Even you don't need to remember, oh, driver seat is that side, I have to go on this seat next to the driver this side. Don't need to remember in India. Because we are so used to, every day we get into the car and go somewhere, or we go, walk to the car, open the door and we sit there. Because it's our habit. Every day doing it, it has become our habit. The person goes to America, and the person knows very well in America driver's seat is in different side. So if I have to sit next to the driver, I have to go to other side of the driver, isn't it? Even though the person knows, still he'll go to the wrong side. Is he ignorant? No, he is not ignorant of the seat position in American cars. He knows. In spite of knowing, he goes the wrong side because of his long old habit. Why does he do the error? Why does he commit the error of going to the wrong side of the seat? He goes the driver's side, seat side. Why? Why does he? Is it the error? This error is not because of his ignorance. It is not ignorance caused error, but habit caused error. He has the habit of going and sitting next to the driver, other side in India. And that, because of long old habit, even though he knows that the seat position is different in America, he goes to the wrong side. This error is not because of his ignorance, because of his habit. So habit caused error is different from ignorance caused error. Sometimes people do not know that the seat is in different place. Driver seat is in different place. Because of ignorance you can commit an error. But habit also makes you do the wrong thing. Habit caused error. Like that, we still have, even though we have understood the Shastra very well, and every day we see, as I, the knower, am distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. So the knower is consciousness. If Atma, I am Atma, Aham Atma, Aham Atma, you, I am Atma, I am all pervasive, abstract, formless reality, obtaining in him of consciousness, is the truth of I. Even though you resolve cognitively the I sense in Atma, the consciousness, and you see that how everything is mithya, you understand, still what happens? Because what is your habit? Seeing the body as the self has been your habit. Seeing the mind as yourself has been a habit. Because of the habit of having I sense in the body, mind sense complex for a long time, even after jnanam, even after having clear jnanam, shravanamannam also, I still have identity with the body. This error in perception of myself before ignorance is error. Ignorance caused error. Even after jnanam, I have identity with the body. Even after jnanam, I have erroneous perception of the self means this error is not ignorance caused error, habit caused error. How can I resolve my habit caused error? Unless and until I resolve my habit caused error, I cannot enjoy the benefit of knowledge. What is the use of having the knowledge, clear knowledge of teaching Aham Brahmasmi? I'm very clear, and no doubts. But still I have problems. Still I have, even after jnanam, I have some likes and dislikes. Still I have hatred. Still I have jealousy. Jealous. I'm jealous. Still I envy people. Still there are anger comes. Why? Because the knowledge is not handy. In situations, whenever situations, all must be handy. Like how the fact 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, this is a fact you know very well. It's assimilated, ever remembered fact for you. You don't need to remember all the time 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Don't need to remember all the time. It is assimilated fact in you. Whenever you need that mathematical knowledge, it comes to you. When you go to shop, you have to give money, then your mathematical knowledge is, you don't remember all the time, it comes to you handy. Then you use how much you have to give, how much you have to take it back, it is handy. When you have to spend money, your mathematical knowledge is very handy. Use it. It is useful. Like that, in situations, when you have situations, knowledge must be handy. When failure comes, success comes, loss comes, gain comes, friends dishonor me, I feel no people purposely they do it or unintentionally they do it. Whatever is such external situations, this knowledge must be handy. The knowledge is handy, then you can use the knowledge means you can remain unafflicted, which is Jivan Muktihi. You are free. Is it clear? Which means this knowledge has to be assimilated, ascertained. The vision of the fact not only is a clear vision, also ascertained vision, assimilated vision, so that you don't need to be saying everywhere all the time, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Atma, Aham Atma. Don't need to be saying. But when situations come, you will be objective. Being objective means what? Not internalizing the situations. Not internalizing means what? You are free. You are not afflicted, affected. This is called Jeevan Muktihi. Freedom while living. This is called reveling in the vision of fullness, happiness. So, it is very important to have this knowledge, ever remembered, never forgotten knowledge, for which Shastram prescribes another step called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam. So, Nididhyasanam is contemplation. Contemplation is a mental activity. Therefore, it is a meditation. Contemplation is meditation because it is a mental activity. But this is called, this contemplation, Vidhyasanam, is also known by another term, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Because the word Upasanam means meditation. Upa means near. Asanam means seat. Upasanam means being seated near. Being seated near means what? Having your mind placed near. Where attention of your mind is placed in Bhagavan, placed near Bhagavan, it is Upasanam. Another word for Upasanam is what? Meditation, Dhyanam. Dhyanam, Upasanam. So, placing the attention of the mind near Bhagavan, placing my mind in Bhagavan is Upasanam. If you place your mind in anything other than Bhagavan, anything which other than Bhagavan, we cannot call it Upasanam. The object of your focus must be Bhagavan. Either it can be a name associated with Bhagavan, the form associated with Bhagavan, function associated with Bhagavan. It can be anything associated with Bhagavan, any symbol. Anything it symbolizes Bhagavan can be an object of meditation. Only then it's, we can call it Upasanam. Meditation, isn't it? But here, this contemplation, which is prescribed for assimilation of the fact which you have already understood, is different from the other meditation. It's called Saguna Brahma Upasanam. The Upasanam which is prescribed here in the is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Saguna Brahma Upasanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam means what is it? Contemplation is different from meditation. Contemplation is meditation, it is a mental activity. But any meditation is not contemplation. Meditation is not contemplation, but contemplation is meditation. Why? It's a mental activity. So what is the difference between contemplation and meditation? Isn't it? Saguna Upasanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. What is the difference? So, Nididhyasana means Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, contemplation means here you repeatedly dwell upon the fact which you have already clearly understood through Shravanam and Mananam. So, repeatedly dwelling upon the fact which has been already clearly, doubtlessly understood through by going through Shravanam and Mananam. So Nididhyasana will be impossible without having gone through Shravanam and Mananam. You must know what should I meditate on to be contemplative, isn't it? If you do not know what you are essentially, you do not know all that is there is essentially the truth, the fact has not yet been understood, how can you dwell upon the fact? Isn't it? You must know that you are the truth. The fact must have been understood. That is why without having understood the fact, how you are essentially Atma Brahma, simply mechanically, suppose if simply somebody says, I am Brahmasmi. Without having understood what Aham means, what Brahma means, you simply repeat and repeat and repeat. Okay, I am the truth. Without having understood what I means, what the truth is, how I am the truth, mechanically repeat this statement, without having understood the meaning of the statement, then it cannot be contemplation. It is not mechanically repeating the statement of a Mahavakyam. It is repeatedly seeing the fact what you are essentially, what how the reality is, seeing the meanings of these words, Nityaha, how reality is timeless, Sarvagataha, how reality is spatially limitless, how reality is all pervasive, how reality is untouched by anything, how reality is of the nature of knowing. Like seeing the reality revealed by the words, the Shastra, okay, in terms of repeatedly dwelling upon the nature of reality revealed by those words of the Shastra, which you have understood when they were unfolded in the class. So, repeatedly dwelling upon one's own real nature and dwelling upon the fact one has understood already very clearly is Nididhyasanam. So, Nididhyasanam is impossible if you do not, if you haven't understood the fact clearly. And to have understood the fact, you must have gone through Shravanam and Mananam. Is it clear? And here, in contemplation, you are the meditator because you are dwelling upon what? Your own nature. The reality obtaining as your own Swarupam. Therefore, there is no difference between meditator and the meditated object in contemplation. Very important. The meditator meditated difference is not in contemplation. Why? Because you are the meditator, you are dwelling upon your own Swarupam. When you see Atma is of the nature of timelessness, you are seeing your real nature, the consciousness being timeless. What is meditated upon? Atma. What is Atma? Yourself. Your essential nature. And who is the meditator? Yourself. So you are the meditator. What is meditated upon is your own nature. Therefore, meditator, meditated, difference is not there in contemplation. Okay? Whereas, in meditation, you are the meditator, and what is meditated upon is different from yourself. Meditator, meditated, difference is there in any meditation. In contemplation, there is no meditator, meditated difference. The object of meditation is non-different from the meditator. Whereas in meditation, the object of meditation is different from, not different from oneself. You are the meditator. What you are meditating on is different from you. Suppose they say, Om Namo Narayanaya, I meditate on it, Om Namo Narayanaya. I focus. The mantra is different from me. I'm the meditator. Is it clear? So, in Nirguna Brahma Upasanam or in the Dhyasanam, meditator, meditated, difference is not there. Whereas in Saguna Brahma Upasanam, meditator, meditated, difference is there. So, this Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is actually contemplation, which is, even it, because it is a mental activity, it is a meditation. But any meditation is not contemplation. Is it clear? And what do you need for assimilation of the fact, assimilation of the teaching, ascertainment of the teaching? Nidhyasanam, not upasanam, not saguna brahma upasanam, but nirguna brahma upasanam. Okay, why should you have assimilated understanding to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge you have? You must have assimilated the fact. If you have not assimilated, you may have the knowledge, but you are not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. What is the use of having knowledge if you are not able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge? The whole effort is to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, Nididhyasanam is the third step, which is contemplation. Contemplation is meditation, actual meditation, and for which you need contemplative disposition of the mind, and to have that mind, undisturbed mind, steady mind, and also pure mind. For that, Karma Yoga is emphasized. Why Karma Yoga? You cannot have contemplative disposition otherwise. Is it clear? That is different. Now, what are the three steps involved in the pursuit of Jnana Yoga? So, Jnana Yoga is a discipline of pursuit of knowledge. Our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is Jnana Yoga, which involves these three steps, and going through these steps with the help of the teacher is actually following the discipline. For Shravanam, you need a teacher's help. For Mananam, you need a teacher's help. In Nidhyasanam, when the teaching is very clear, and you don't need teacher, you can just be yourself. You can be contemplative. Okay. So, Vidvat Sannyasi is supposed to live a life of contemplation. That is different. Vidisha Sannyasi has to start Shravanam. If he has done Shravanam, he must do Mananam. If he has done Mananam, he also can becomes a Vidvat Sannyasi. Then he can become contemplative, then he can have the vision assimilated, then he can enjoy the benefit of knowledge. If you are not qualified for Jnanam, then what you should do? I want to study, I am listening, but still it takes time. Don't worry. Shastra Mata has something else to keep us busy. For us to grow, Shruti Mata really wants us to go to Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam. She wants to, how can I make this person really, how can I help him become sharp? The person must become intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, but now raw-headed. What should I do? Get me some toys. Get him some toys. Keep him busy, otherwise he'll break other things. The children have to be given crayons, otherwise they'll come and break your things. They spoil something. Why arts and crafts class for children? Otherwise they will trouble you. Keep them busy. So they become disciplined. They will know how to sit for quietly for 40 minutes. If we don't give them anything else, make them play. Have some programs for them. Don't have programs, they'll be very mischievous and naughty. They won't become. They don't know how to sit quietly. To make a child sit in one place, give some work. Give something to do. Like that, we are so restless, so agitated. And Shruti Mata wants to become, first of all, quiet. So sit in bhajan for 20 minutes. Don't get up. It's all discipline. Place the mind in Bhagavan Nama. Satsanga. Very important. Everything is important because everything is a discipline. It's not a mere mechanical discipline. It's a sadhana. All for preparing mind for Bhagavan. Ultimately. Because that's why Bhagavan Nama is involved. Like everything has its value. Anyway, we'll come back and see Karma Yoga topic. We have covered Jnana Yoga. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.